talking together about the game on. It's time to change our world. And last week we talked about the importance of getting involved. The video is really kind of linking last week to what we want to do this morning. Because last week we looked at how important it is to use our spiritual gifts and our personality. God made you uniquely you. And now He has placed you within a church fellowship. And He wants you to use those spiritual gifts, personalities, experiences. He wants you to use those to serve Him in some way. And so it's time to get, you know, out of the stands, off the sidelines, get in the game, and really get started. And so we started this whole series with a challenge to pray a simple three-word prayer. You remember what that prayer was? What was the three-word prayer? God, use me. That's right. And that's a big challenge to say that. To say, instead of waiting for someone to do for me, instead of sitting on the sidelines and watching others do, God, I want you to use me. I want to be actively involved. I want to make a difference in the world around me. And so when we pray that prayer, and when we start living that out, when we say, God, use me, and then we start using our gifts and our abilities in service to Him so He can use us, we are actually fulfilling a 2,000-year-old prayer that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed to the Father, the prayer that's recorded for you in your worship folder, John 17:18. Jesus prayed, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That is now our theme for this entire series. As God sent Jesus into the world, He now sends us out into the world. And we take on that role and we accept that responsibility when we say, God, use me, and then we start to use those spiritual gifts, personalities, and abilities in service to Him. Well, ever since we talked about that last week, I've had a number, probably three or four different people bring up a question. They each worded it differently, but I think they each meant the same thing. Basically, the question is this. I understand that I'm supposed to use my spiritual gifts in the church. I understand that God wants to use me to do something here in the church, but how do I make that happen? How do I plug in and get in the right place, and how do I make the connections necessary to be able to use my gifts, to be able to use my personality and my experiences to make a difference? Well, before we really get into this morning's text, I want us to address that. Because I can think of at least six things that you want to do in order to find the way to use your spiritual gifts and actually get involved in doing something. And the first one is, I'd encourage you to actually join the church. If you haven't joined the church yet, I'd encourage you to do that. When you join the fellowship officially, you're telling the church family, I'm committed to you guys. This is a real deal for me. And I'm committing to you to serve along with you as we move forward together. And then once you join the church, you start participating. You come to the fellowships that we have. You come to the special meetings that we have. You participate in the life of the church. That's how folks get to know you. You see, if we don't include that vitally important step, folks never really get to know you, because we don't get to know each other real well on Sunday morning. You know, you're looking at the back of somebody's head all morning, and you're all looking at the best looking guy in the room. I understand that. But it's hard for us to really get to know each other on Sunday morning. That takes place in the other events and the other experiences that we have as a church. When you get involved in those, then we get to know you. We understand what you what you're interested in, what you can offer, and so we are able to include you in other things and invite you to do things with us. So the first thing is, join the church and participate. Well, then I'd also encourage you, if you have not yet participated in this, I'd encourage you to to jump into our First Things First class. The next time we do it, and it's going to be soon, because we have so many folks who are asking great questions that are actually answered in the First Things First class. So next time we do that, I'd encourage you to sign in and jump in on that thing. In the First Things First class, we're going to introduce you to our church, to how it works, to the different ministries and opportunities. And we'll make some connections for you so you can figure out who's who and how to make it all work together. So I think that would be a huge step in figuring out how you can use who God made you to be to serve Him through serving this church. Another thing, the third thing that I'd suggest to you is get involved in some kind of small group. Now that might be what we traditionally called Sunday school, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. That might be one of the Bible studies that we have during the week. There are a number of small groups. As a matter of fact, be sure you stay for lunch today so that you can learn about all those small group opportunities and you can figure out where to fit in. Because it's in the small group setting that relationships are built and strengthened. And it's out of those relationships that you're going to find opportunities to serve. It's when you get to know each other, and when we get to know you well enough, that's where the service begins. So small group experience is vitally important to that. And then I'd encourage you to use the resource that I told you about last week. You can find it online. You can find it at Mardell. It's called SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. And that spells out the ways that God has made you who you are. Look for it online. Look for it at the bookstore, however you need to do that. But this resource helps you learn who you are better so you know where to plug in better. SHAPE, it stands for your spiritual gift, your heart, that's your passion, what excites you, your abilities, what you're good at, your personality, and your experiences. Those five things make up who you are. So look at that resource and learn more about who God has made you to be. Then I would suggest as well, the fifth one that I want to suggest to you is make sure that you pick up a copy of our Ministry Opportunities booklet. There are stacks on the table right inside, just as before you get out to the foyer, right in that little area over there. There's a table there, and we've updated these, so they are up to date as of yesterday. And so I want to encourage you to pick up one of these. We've made plenty of them over there. Pick one up, and as you look at that, it's going to explain to you all the different ministry opportunities that we have. You're interested in prayer? This lists all the different kinds of prayer ministries that we're involved in. You're interested in music? There's a whole section there about how you can be involved in music ministry. There's a page and a half of children's ministry opportunities. And so pick up one of those, and that will familiarize yourself with our church and the opportunities that we have for you to serve. Then the sixth one is start listening for what we call a ministry fair. Very soon, we're going to have a ministry fair. And the way that works is you show up at an appointed time, probably a Saturday morning, I don't know yet, but you're going to show up at an appointed time. And when you show up, we're going to have tables and booths throughout the church where each ministry is going to be there at their booth or their table to answer questions, to explain to you what they do, so that you can immediately sign up and be a part of the one that fits you. So there are some meaningful ways, there are some great suggestions for you, some meaningful ways to actually live out what we talked about last week. Figure out your spiritual gifts, figure out your shape, and then begin to plug in, participate, join us in what God is doing. That's going to be vitally important if we're going to be able to really make a difference in the world around us. Well, with that explanation then, let's move forward now to this week's idea, and that is it's time to open my heart to those in need. The first week we talked about it's time to ask God to use me. Then we talked about it's time to activate my gifts. And now I want to encourage you that it is time to open my heart to those in need. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke is the third book of the New Testament, one of those easy ones to find right up front. We'll be in the Gospel of Luke at chapter 10. And I want to share with you a very familiar story that you know well. This is one of those scripture passages that folks are familiar with, even if they've never been to church. You hear folks use this almost flippantly in our regular society, regular culture, even though they've never actually read it for themselves. They're very familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know the story, but before we start at the story, we need to start at why Jesus told the story. So look in Luke chapter 10, and we want to start at verse 25. Verse 25. "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" Now, the lawyer did a good job of summarizing the entire law. In another place, Jesus says, if you do these two things, you've got the rest of the law covered. You love God with all that you've got and all that you are, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then you've got it all covered. And so the lawyer did a good job of summarizing all of the law in these two things. And so Jesus said to him, verse 28, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And then the whole story, the whole Good Samaritan story, is an answer to that question. The man said, "Okay, I'll love God and I'll love my neighbor, but who's my neighbor? I'm willing to love my neighbor as long as my neighbor is the people I like. The people who look like me and talk like me and think like me and vote like me." He kind of tested Jesus. "So now who is my neighbor according to you?" And so Jesus tells the story, verse 30. Jesus replied and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." By the way, Jerusalem to Jericho is about 18 miles. That's a long walk. But not only is it a long walk, it's a downhill slope on rock. And so it's very slow go. You have to be careful. And as you're careful, there are turns and little caves and big boulders. And it's easy for the bandits to hide in these little hiding places. And so that is indeed what happens. They hide in these places because they know that folks will be walking by soon. And sure enough, it says, "He fell among robbers and they stripped him, beat him, and went off leaving him half dead." And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. Now, a Levite, for our purposes, we could think of him in terms of an associate pastor. He kind of helps the priest, all right? The priest saw the guy over there, and he didn't even stay on that side of the road. He went to the other side of the road and walked down, pretending that he didn't see. Now, likewise, a Levite. Also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. He came by and saw him. And then he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, now that's key. As soon as Jesus said that word, he got everybody's attention in the crowd because everybody who was there that day at that time hated Samaritans. We don't have time this morning to go into all of the history there, but just suffice to say that if you were a Jew in this context, hearing the story on that day, you hated Samaritans and you believed that you had good religious and ethical reasons for that hatred. Okay? Now, Jesus says a Samaritan came by, and immediately everybody there kind of gristled a little bit. A Samaritan? Why is he going to talk about those people? They even called them dogs. They wouldn't consider them real humans. Verse 33, a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. He came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll return, I'll repay you." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? He said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Look at verse 37 again. The neighbor was the one who showed mercy. And that's what we're talking about. That's what this is all about, showing mercy. What does mercy mean? Mercy is love in action. And Jesus says, it wasn't the priest who showed mercy. It wasn't the Levite who showed mercy. It was the dog. It was the Samaritan who stopped and showed mercy. He showed love in action. It's time for us to open our hearts to those in need. You see how Jesus finished the story? He said, the Samaritan showed mercy. Now you go and do the same. You, Jews, in this case, his immediate audience, you Jews who don't like them, who look down on them, the Samaritan is the one who now sets the example for you to follow. You think that didn't catch their attention? And he says it to us as well. Now you go and do likewise. What? Show mercy. You show mercy like this one who set the example. There are people in need all around us. And it's time for us to open our hearts to those in need. It's time for us to learn to show mercy, to show love in action. Well, how do we do that? Real quickly, number one. We can do that when we encourage when someone is hurt. Encourage when someone is hurt. That word encourage is a great word because it sounds like exactly what it is. When we encourage, we put courage in someone. To encourage is to put courage in someone. You know, that's why we clap and yell at games. It encourages the teams. That's why we say go Frogs or Sick 'em Bears. Or Giggle Maggies, or Hook 'em Horns, or what is it Guns Up? Is it, okay, all right, I knew you'd help me out. Guns Up. That's why we do those things. It encourages the team. And, you know, in everyday life, we need the very same kind of encouragement. Mr. Friend, I hope I don't embarrass you. I'm excited that Mr. Friend is here. When I was very young, I went to the Baylor Day Camp. And Mr. Friend was our counselor, leader, whatever the correct term is. He taught me how to swim. And I have a memory from Baylor Day Camp in that swimming pool. They had 2 diving boards. They had one for people like me who are a little bit scared. And then they had one way up here. Well, one day I decided I'm going to climb on that one way up there. And I got up on that one way up there, and I got off to the edge, and I said, "Ain't no way." And I turned around and started to walk down. Well, I didn't know they have a rule. If you go up, you don't get to walk back down the ladder. If you go up, you got to jump. And there's actually safety reasons for that because you got a line of kids up and down, and I get all that. But here I am. This is a scary thing for me. I'm at the edge of this board, and I'm looking down, and I'm scared to death. And it took, you know, as a very young child, memories aren't exactly real clear. As a matter of fact, my memories from yesterday aren't all that clear either. But my memories as a child are not exactly clear. But the way I remember it, everything stopped in the pool. 400 kids probably. And they're all waiting on me. And I'm on the edge. And I'm scared to death. And finally, because I can't go down, finally, I stepped off, and I jumped into the water. And when I came up out of the water, the entire room, it was an indoor pool, the entire room is clapping for me. Now, you know, it was probably three or four people around me who were clapping. And they were probably clapping because now they could finally get to the high dive. But in my mind, the whole room was clapping for me. And I came out of that water so proud, it gave me courage. People were encouraging me. And I was ready to go again. You know, there are people all around us every single day who just need a little encouragement. They just need somebody to stop when they're hurting on the side of the road. They just need somebody to stop long enough to care enough to see if we can be of assistance. They're just looking for a little courage to face the next day. And you can encourage people in a powerful way without even knowing what you're doing. You can encourage people in a powerful way. How? With just a word. Just a word. Words have power. Life is in words. And all you have to do is say, "You got this. I'm proud of you. Good job. Go get them." And what you're doing for that person who needs a little encouragement is you're standing on the sidelines and you're clapping and you're cheering as they do the best they can. Give them that encouragement. Encourage when someone is hurt is the best way to open our hearts to those in need. Isaiah 53 put it this way. I'm sorry, 35. "Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come." Notice what we do when we meet somebody with feeble hands, with unsteady knees. Those knees are knocking in fear. What do? It said, say. Speak. Say something. Say to those fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Encourage when someone is hurt. We encourage them with our words, letting them know that we're praying for them. Sometimes we encourage them just by being with them. Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Here's your challenge. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Live out Hebrews 3:13 today. You see that? It says, "As long as it is called today, encourage one another." I want to challenge you. You don't go to bed tonight until you have purposefully encouraged some other believer. The most convenient way to do that is do it before you leave here today. Encourage somebody while it's still called today. Not only can we open our hearts to those in need when we encourage someone who's hurt, but we also do it as we guide when someone needs wisdom. We do that as we guide when someone needs wisdom. Wisdom is a proper word spoken at a proper time. And we can open our hearts to those in need when we guide them with that proper word spoken at a proper time with wisdom. Now, in order to speak wisdom in someone else's life, you have to study life and learn and gain wisdom. Did you notice the Good Samaritan knew what to do? When he saw the one over there, I always thought maybe the priest and the Levite kind of kept walking because they weren't sure what to do. Maybe they didn't know how to help the guy. But Sam knew what to do. The Good Samaritan was wise, and so it says that he cleaned up his wounds, he put oil, he put him on the critter took him to the hotel, put him up in the hotel, he knew what to do. And you see, if we're going to be able to speak wisdom, we have to start with finding wisdom. We have to be wise. Proverbs 4 says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Ain't that great? I just love that. The beginning of wisdom is this: get it. In other words, it's not going to happen automatically. You have to learn life. You have to study life. You have to desire wisdom. You look for it. You want to grow wise. So you read and you observe and you pray for wisdom. James says if you pray for wisdom, you'll receive it. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's that important. And as we become wise, we're able to share it with those around us. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. We want to be like the Good Samaritan, to take time to stop, take time to get involved, to make a difference, instead of just turn our head and walk the other way. When people around you need some guidance, share with them the wisdom that will help them to move forward. And then thirdly, we give when someone needs help. That's how we open our hearts to those in need. We're going to encourage them when they're hurt. We're going to guide them when they need wisdom. And we're going to give when someone needs help. Now, that giving is tough, because if I give you something, that means I don't have it anymore. And we like to have. We like our stuff. And it's tough for us to learn to give when others need it. Remember Proverbs 14, it is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. It's a sin to despise your neighbor. Why? Because the law says, love your neighbor. And then it says, but you'll be blessed if you are kind to the needy. If you give to those who are in need. The Good Samaritan gave of himself. He gave his money. He gave his time to take care of someone in need. If you open your heart to those in need, you can do the same thing. Remember, when you help someone else, God blesses you in return. Proverbs 11, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Lonnie says often, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. And as you start giving to help those others in need, the reality is God is going to bless you as well. So you give when someone needs help. This is how we open our hearts to those in need. Encourage them when they're hurting. Guide them when they need wisdom. Give when someone really needs help. The story started when somebody asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? Well, our neighbors are those people around us who are in need. Jesus told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In 1 John, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. It's time to get involved. Game on. It's time to make a difference in our world. And that happens as we open our hearts to those in need. We really love our neighbor in a way that is demonstrated in our actions. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Help us to share that love with those around us. We pray that you would help us to open our hearts to those in need. And Father, as we consider those things that would make us more like Christ, we pray that you'd guide us now in our time of decision and commitment, that we would make whatever decision or take whatever step we need to take in obedience to be more like him and to please you. We pray that you'd guide us now in Jesus' name.